when Shir Chavis Halbomus Wednesday Chav Zion Sivan Chavis Halbomus Shara Bitochen.
Okay, so we'll start Ren Shara Chavis Halbomus Shara Bitochen Perek Dalid, and he has Chavis Halbomus has his list of seven areas to apply Bitochen to. The first four were things of Olam Hazeh, and the last three were. And the last three were things of Olam Haba. Well, actually, the first three were mamish physical things. Four and five were about mitzvahs. Four and five were about how to apply bitachon and Hashem to my performance of mitzvahs. Six was how to apply bitachon, and that one must apply bitachon, to my reward and punishment. That we rely on Hashem to pay us back. You know, when they say no good deed goes unpunished, that's what they're talking about. We rely on Hashem that everything has a din, has a cheshbon, everything is seen, everything is recorded, and that you apply bitachon to that. So if you have a feeling particularly whatever, right? So we rely on Hashem. Hashem is fair, Hashem is just, Hashem knows what's happening, Hashem sees what's happening to me, what I'm doing. Sometimes we wish it weren't so much, but he does. So that's number six. Number seven, so we're up to really the last in a list of seven things of applied bitachon. Seven is really, I mean, as difficult as six was, because we struggled with understanding, you know, how it applies to bitachon. It talks about Hashem will give you schar, but we finally worked out that rely on Hashem to give the schar, even though it's deserved, because you can never catch up, and what does it take to really deserve Olam Haba, and so on and so forth. That's what we learned in the last 2-3 weeks. Seven is really very, I don't know, esoteric, I don't know what word to use. It's really up in the clouds. And it's amazing to me that he chose number seven as one of the seven things. I live my life and I apply bitachon to having money, and number two, and number three, and relationships, and number four, and number five. Number seven is, again, talking about schar of Olam Haba. But apparently, I mean, it must be that Chavis Halbomus considers what I'm about to say. I know you're in suspense. What I'm about to say is so fundamental, right? He counts out seven areas in life that you have to apply bitachon to. So everything made sense, right? Number six was a little not this worldly, but then we explained, no, because it's going to affect how I live my life in this world when I'm relying on Hashem that everything is going to work out at the end, meaning there'll be schar v'onesh. Everything is part of a plan, and so on and so forth. As we expanded upon number six, and number six became very real in this world. Number seven worked on a long time, because number seven is very esoteric. It is that in Olam Haba, right, I get to Olam Haba, and Hashem will, if you're on a certain madrega, then the sky's the limit. I don't know what other word to use. You become like a malach. Hashem will give you, you will have such a relationship, such a shefa, such a connection to Hashem, way, way beyond what your deeds technically deserved, even more than number six. And it'll just, it's a special, you know, it's like, let's see, again, we always good to think of children, because that's the best marshal when you're trying to figure out what Hashem's doing. So we think about children. So you say, you know, if you're a good boy, if you're a good girl, so I'll buy you this, I'll get you this, right? So that's like within the gvul. But then say you are so good, right? So we're going on a trip next week. We're taking a trip. I'm taking off a day from work, and we're just going to go on a trip. Like, above and beyond, because you've been so good, and you've got your reward for being good, right? You're good, you got, yeah. you get your reward, and I, but now you're so good, and I like you so much that I want to give you a special reward beyond everything you've earned through your actions. And we learned in the last few weeks that we don't really earn them through our actions, really. It's just Hashem sort of holds our hand, and we're making, like, you know, and then, okay, but this is like above and beyond. We have, so, the answer is that the Chavis HaLovis throughout the Sefer considers a person in this world that, well, what's the whole mahal of Chavis HaLovis, even on the lower Madrega? Right, that the point isn't so much the mitzvahs, a dangerous thing to say, I hope you all understand. I always say that when I say that, right? I'm afraid someone's going to walk out of here saying, we hired a conservative rabbi. But, so he also says, but, like, you can, once you reach that madrega, and once you're living it, and once you're always thinking about Hashem, and once you really, you know, the mitzvahs give us a certain guideline, and if we do the Chavis HaLovis of the mitzvahs, so I go beyond just eating matzah and just taking off challah or having a mezuzah on my door, I connect to Hashem the way the mitzvah is supposed to connect me. But then I go beyond that, and I'm always with Hashem, and I'm always thinking about Hashem, and all I care about is Hashem, and I don't care about everything, my whole life, and everything I do, is, there's no gvulim, meaning everything is measured by me in terms of Hashem. Does it bring me close to Hashem? Does Hashem like this? It's not just like the mitzvahs, except I'm living my life. My whole life becomes like a malach. You become sort of like a malach. Now, that's important to the Chavis HaLovis, and really throughout the whole Sefer, he refers to that madrega. Now, you know, we're listening and saying, why don't we just skip this page, Rabbi? You know, why don't we just skip this? The answer is because it's important, I think, because it follows naturally. You know, if it wouldn't be for the Chavis HaLovis, his perspective on mitzvahs. So you say, okay, I do all the mitzvahs. Okay, and what about a big tzaddik? He mamash does all the mitzvahs. You bump up against the ceiling, right? And but we find throughout Chazal and throughout Svarim that, you know, a person can just grow and grow and grow till he becomes came out like a malach. So where do you know? I can only wear tefillin so much. I can only eat matzah so much. I can only I'm mukbal. Where's the place to grow beyond? Even if I do the Chavis HaLovis of the mitzvahs, but there's still certain natural gvulim. So Chavis HaLovis is very important to the Chavis HaLovis that you can go beyond that. And you become just, and this is what he describes in the Sefer, in Shar Avos Hashem, and really the way the Rambam describes it in Hilchos Tshuva, like a person in love. The Rambam explains that's why Shir HaShirim is written the way it's written. It's like a person in love, and that's this whole world, if you ever, Chas V'Shalom, read romantic novels, right? Like, you're always thinking about that person, and you only, and every person that talks to you, you think it's that person. Like, the Rambam describes it very, very vividly in Hilchos Tshuva, almost embarrassingly so. The Rambam, like Shir HaShirim is a little embarrassing, if you know what the words mean. But the Rambam describes that in Hilchos Tshuva too, and that's what Hashem really, everything in this world has a dugma. You want to know what we're talking about? It really goes, I guess, you know, in my marshal of parents and children, it really goes beyond parents and children. And then you move on to husband and wife, ideally. You know, the way it's supposed to be, ideally. So you really, that's what it is, right? If I always talk about using as a marshal children and parents, so I guess on this madrega that the Chavis HaLovis feels is so much, maybe we won't reach there, but so why does he have to tell it to us? First of all, he holds it exists. It's important because it's the natural extension of Chavis HaLovis. I know I'm struggling for it and not explaining it well because it's really very, it's not clear, or at least to me it's not clear. It's really a natural extension of having Chavis HaLovis in Chavis HaEvarim. He says, the mitzvah, so I can only eat matzah for 4 hours, Pesach night. Right? That's the mitzvah. And if I do the chavis halvodos of matzah, I could do it all year round. I'm not mukbal to Pesach, because I'm thinking about Hashem, because Adam Mitzrayim, and so on. But that also has a certain hagbalah, because that's what I'm thinking about. But if my whole life is wrapped up in Hashem, like a person in love, I'll use the way the Rambam describes it in Hilchos Tshuva. And that's the way the chavis halvodos describes it, and he'll describe it here in short. But that's what he describes in Shaar Avos Hashem, right? The chavis halvodos is built like a tower, like a building. And the tenth Shaar is Shaar Avos Hashem, right? Bitochon is fourth. Bitochon is fourth. And Avos Hashem is the tenth. So, Bitochon applies there too. That I have Bitochon that there is such a thing. And again, it sounds funny and it sounds maybe... But it's the Chavis HaLevavos holds this is part of the Brias Adam. When Hashem created man, and he gave us the Torah, and he gave us, he revealed himself to us. So this is part of life. This is part of reality. This is also reality. It's a very high madrega. But it's important. And therefore we apply Bitachon to it. You see, that's the point of this parak. Bitachon applies to everything. I'm relying on Hashem that such a thing exists, and that it's potentially possible, and that it's theoretically possible. Now, so what does it have to do with me in my life? Because maybe, as I always say, you know, the Chavis HaLevavos is laboratory conditions. Maybe once a month I can feel that way for a half a minute. That's something, you know, and maybe I can up that to a minute in 5 years. Maybe I'll feel that way on Yom Kippur, you know, by the Ilah. I'll just feel totally enveloped in Hashem's love. And maybe we can reach those things at certain points in our life. If we can't see ourselves living that way, because Olam Hazeh intrudes too much, and we want things of this world, and the Chavis HaLevavos says you have to make a choice. You either want things of this world, or you want otherworldly things. And it pulls us away. But it's good to know it's there. Agaponim, what's nogeya us in Shaar HaBitochon is not the Madrega itself, per se, which the Chavis HaLevavos really describes. I should have mentioned Shaar HaPrishus too, which is number 9, and Shaar Avos Hashem, which is number 10. But the Bitochon that Hashem will have this relationship with you, a person that lives that way, Hashem will shower him with, like I said, with the kid on the trip, you know, just as a marshal, beyond the schar that he talked about in number 6. This is like special. Maybe it's like a wife. You say, like a kid, the kid's very good. But it's not the same thing between a husband and wife. So then, maybe that's a very good marshal. So then you're like, you up yourself a madrega. Because in Tanakh, we are described, right, the Shirashirim, but you need more than Shirashirim. We have I would call it like this, if you want a shorthand formula, which is oversimplistic. If I wanted to talk about Chovas Vayivorim, I would talk about having a relationship with Hashem of Avadim to an Adon, because the Adon tells David what to do. Bring me this, take this, go here, go there. So that's really Chovas Vayivorim. The child that wants that the parent is really being mechanech the child in the parent's values, and you know, and the child wants the parent to be pleased with him, and the child wants to live up to the parent's value system and ideals, right? So that would be the Chovas HaLevavos. And then I would say a man and wife would be what he talks about in Shaar HaPrishus and Shaar Avos Hashem. We are just really, it's a totally different type of relationship. So, applying bitachon means that Hashem will take you there. If you did that in this world, if you worked towards that goal, Hashem will give it to us in Olam Haba. So, Avol Perish Chelek Hashvi'i, very end of Perek Dalet. Avol Perish Chelek Hashvi'i, Hu B'chesed Elokim Al B'chirov, on those who he has chosen, usugulosa bolam abo, berova tovos, asher nolucha l'safron. Like, no, there's no limit. It's just total, bonding, we'll call it. Ofane Yosher Abitachon Al Alakibos. What does it mean to Abitachon? I have Bitachon that it exists, so I will try to be that way. She is Asek Besibos Hamagios also El Madregos Achasidim Haruim Lizem Eitz Alakibos Baruch Bechazdo. In other words, if I don't rely on Hashem that it exists, that He will do it, maybe I won't do it. He says the manifestation of that reliance in this world is living a life where that will be given to me, where that will be the ultimate reward. Number six was a more plain every man's schar v'onesh. Right? This is schar above and beyond, like a man and wife. And I rely on Hashem that there is such a thing. Again, to me, it's like amazing that he makes it one of seven things to apply bitachon to. It means I'm going to desire to go be. Again, when we learn Chavis Halbava, so the first thing we learn, and we thousands of times, is that I want to go beyond the Chavis Ha'ivar. I want to go beyond the mezuzah, the challah. I want to feel what you're supposed to feel. I want to connect the way those mitzvahs are supposed to connect me. And there's something beyond that. I become, I'm in love with Hashem, and just everything I do, and everything that goes on, I'm like totally caught up in Him. And that's all you could be standing in a crowded room, and you're alone. You're alone with Hashem. And that's how the Chavis Halbava is described so vividly in Shaar HaPrishus and Shaar Avos Hashem. He says, you don't have to go to the Jerusalem forest to do His Bodedus. He says, if you really know how to do His Bodedus, you can do it in a crowded room, right? Because you just... So we rely on Hashem that this thing exists so that we will attempt to live that way. And I'm adding the words once in a while. once a year from half a minute. See, this is a combination of precious and Avos Hashem. Hamoas and Bolam Hazeh. There's what to talk about here, because Mrs. Noel, who's like a Lubavitcher, she's going to say, why is that the highest madrega to be Moes Bolam Hazeh? We should embrace Olam Hazeh. So, but this is past that. That was number six. That was within the context. But if you want to be like a malach, so this is the Chavis Halbava Sashita. There's something beyond Olam Hazeh, and you will be Moes Olam Hazeh. Ulahotzi Avosa uBechiroso Milibo. The Yomer's the Avan Bechira of Olam Hazeh. The Yomer Zebavas Habore. That's all you care about, that's all you have eyes for, that's all you love, that's all you care about. These are all words, like poetic words. We don't know exactly what they mean. To be involved with Hashem. You don't want to, it hurts when you have to go amongst people and listen to them prattle and listen to them talk. And, be involved with their value system and what they think is important. It's like unnerving. The Yisnaig b'menhagi hanavim v'chasidim. I mean, we're talking about that level. The Yaliba b'tuach b'lokim. So, and that's what this parak's about. This parak is not Shaar HaPrishus, Shaar Avos Hashem. This parak is bitachon. I am relying on Hashem. I'm calm. I know that there is... I will exist that way forever and ever. If I can reach, again, we're not talking about perfection, but if I can reach something similar to it, if I can reach something that's deserving of such a shefa, I'm going on a trip with Hashem, I'm trying to think of my Mishalim, just it should make sense, something our minds could latch on to, so I'm relying that it's true. I'm not fantasizing. I'm lying that there's a pot of gold there. Then he brings us down to earth. He says, don't have the wrong bitachon, just like you can't have bitachon without ishtadlus, as he explained way back when. He says, "Avomisha yiftachalu alokim shiyuzakeil v'ze." If you think that you're going to be flying high and be like a malach without acting that way in this world, believe me, tzua ma'isa hu haksil ba'pesi. You're a fool. V'udoma l'mishem nemer aleihem osim ma'asa zimriyum v'akshav schar kapinchos. Right? That's next week's parasha, right? That's a very sharp description of Chazal about certain people, types of people. Umisimone, the chiddush is that when you say Oisimasa Zimri Vakashkar Kapinchas, that means you did something bad. Zimri did something bad, and he wanted to be rewarded like Pinchas. I mean, that's the combination of hypocrisy and foolishness, and who you're trying to kid. Now, in his marshal, he wasn't talking about someone doing something bad. He was just, he was saying, like, you know, I don't have to climb there through what I do in this world. So he says, no, that's ridiculous. Of course you have to, you know, it's like I said, let's go back to the trip. You know, you take the kid on a trip. So the kid doesn't deserve the trip in the normal sense because he got a reward for everything good that he did. But he still earned the trip because he earned to be given something above and beyond what he earned, you know, what he earned his points, and he got his different prizes. So now we go above and beyond that, but he earned that because he lived a certain way. Umesimone anshe amayla gdola hazos. How do you know? If you want to see people, Sheyoru Abde Abori El Avodas Abori. He's going to list now. He's going to throw out different phrases. He says, what such people will do is they will teach people how to serve Hashem. Sheyoru Abde Abori El Avodas Abori. Bahasevel Be'ez Hanitzoyon Bahatzora. They will be able to handle difficult times, right? Tragedies happen in people's lives. We have nisyonos. Things happen. We know what life consists of. So they can handle it. That's one of the simonim of such a person. They maintain their emuna. They really describes this in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. They welcome it. It's hard, you know, it sounds funny. It sounds like a funny word, but they welcome whatever Hashem does for them. If this is what Hashem has in store for me, it's very, very difficult. We're going to learn in a few lines something, a sentence that really most, it's very hard to handle. He says, like, I wouldn't want it any other way. Right? And that's very hard to balance that with tefillah, because we daven that a cholah should get better, and we daven for parnosa, and we daven for all sorts of things. So we'll talk about that in a few lines. But that's what he's saying. He says, I'm really cool with whatever Hashem does. I'm Hashem. Hashem is like certainly knows what he's doing. So I can handle any nisayon, any sara. B'sheyokol b'neim kol dover etzul ki mitzvah sabori yuzbarach. If my nisayon is that it's difficult to do a mitzvah. There's two types of nisyonos, right? There's a nisayon here. Moshe Yudatam Nenya Melukim Yisus Avram. Bo Shecht Yason. You know, that really has elements of both types of nisyonos. So I'll just use that as an example. First of all, it's a nisayon. Are you going to do it? It's a very hard thing to do. To pick up that knife and do it is very hard. So that's nisayon number one. And then there's the kash Avram had. What's going to be with the Jewish people? You promised me a son, right? To maintain your emuna and to maintain your vision of Hashem and to maintain that, that's a nisayon and emuna. You know, if I have a nisayon, you know, I don't feel like going to Meiriv, you know, but I want to daven with a minyan. I'm supposed to daven with a minyan, so that's a nisayon. That's not a nisayon and emuna. That's a nisayon it's hard. We don't always want to do what we're supposed to do, so that's a nisayon. But a lot of times nisyonos are nisyonos and emuna. It's not only hard to maintain our faith. We have to maintain our faith in Hashem's goodness. We have to maintain our faith that Hashem is in charge of the world. Nothing happens unless He wants it to happen. and so on and so forth. So that's what he said, Bahasevel Ba'es HaNisoyim Bahatzara, to be soivel it. V'sheyokel Ba'inem Kol Dover Eshelkim Mitzvah Sabore means no sweat. I can do it. K'moshe Yedatem in Ha'inyan Elokim Nisos Avraham V'inyan Chananyo Mishol V'zayah B'kif Shel Eish V'Daniel B'Gobo Arroyos V'Sara Arugei Malchus. Yeah.
So before he says that the way you get to here is, as we said, like an ascetic shunning the world, then how can you, the next paragraph he says you should, like, basically do kirev and teach other people how to follow in his, you know, so how do you do it? How can you do both?
He's not talking about, I don't understand the question. He didn't mean that you should become an ascetic and go to the mountaintop and live in a monastery and get rid of your spouse and just, you know, fold your hands and legs in the lotus position. He's talking about, if everything is said and done, he's talking about a person who lives in this world, goes to work every day, earns a living. He's part of the people. It's all. But his point is, if I really love Hashem, then I care about other people. I don't just care about myself. It's a little self-centered to only care about my own avodas Hashem. So there's part of me that devotes itself to teaching others. Now he says as follows: Umi shebochar. Now let's finish up. If you have an asayon, again, whether it's an asayon of performance or it's an asayon of emuna, right? Or sometimes it's an asayon of performance, even at the expense of your life. You have to give up your life for certain things. And sometimes the asayon is to live a certain way, and you can't have the life you thought you wanted to have because you've chosen to live a certain way. So umisha bochar b'movis b'avodas habori menachayim b'himoroso, someone who chooses to be moser nefesh, to die, because life is not worth living, and he's willing to give up his life because that's what's demanded. They say, you know, avodas zara, or else v'haresh min ha'osher, he chooses poverty over wealth in order to be Oved Hashem. That's how his life led him. If he would cheat and lie and steal, he thinks he would have money, and now he has to live a life where he doesn't make ends meet because he's careful about Avodas Hashem. V'acholim and abrius, v'hatzorim and ashalva, v'nimsar ledin habore, he gives himself over to whatever Hashem throws at him. V'rotza b'gzeiroso. See, you can define Rotsa B'Gzeirosa just that he's makabel it. He accepts it without tainus. But the truth is that in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, he talks about even more, like, I welcome it. I welcome it. Because if Hashem wants it, I welcome it. So at what point do you daven? That's a tough call. If you're going to be on this madrega and Hashem sends me a certain situation, so why would I daven? What would stir me to daven? Why wouldn't I say that whatever Hashem wants of me is great? I'm not sure where you draw the line. I mean, the answer is that Hashem wants us to daven too. You have to make that part of your life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like I always say, but the Imol didn't have children for so long, but it's really only because Hashem wanted them to daven. Hashem wanted them to reach a certain intensity in their davening. Now, what would have happened if after 9 years Rivka threw up her hands and said, it's not happening, this is Hashem has other plans for me, I don't have children, I'm going to devote myself to making a seminary and I'm not burdened with children, you know, and Hashem has a different plan for me. So obviously, we know, because we peaked, we know the end of it. We peaked, and we know it's not true. You're supposed to have Yaakov Avinu. I don't know if there's a formula. That's what I always say. I say this many times, you know, smile. Sometimes your heart speaks to you.
sometimes your heart speaks to you. You just have to go with your heart. Now, you have to purify your heart to be able to go with your heart. Because if a person's heart is full of personal agendas, not the ruts in Hashem, then it's corrupt. You know? But if a person could either talk to someone else or themselves be introspective and objective, and like, so your heart knows. You know, if it would be no gear for you, you know, you want to ask your boss for a raise, you're going to try again. You're going to try again. You know, so sometimes you try again, and you're inspired by Moshe Rabbeinu who davened to go into Eretz Yisrael, you know, like the gematria of the word Voeschanan. And at some point, I'm not being coherent now. Your neshama just speaks to you, and you say, I'm fighting. I'm fighting Hashem. Now, I don't know if that point, I don't know, because we don't find that the point is ever reached. It's really just the words in the Chagos Haldolos. Because in Chumash, and in the stories, whether it's Rivka, or Rachel, or Chana, let's say we've talked about children, or, you don't say that. You don't say that. Because Hashem wants us to have children, Hashem wants us to be healthy, Hashem wants us to have money, Hashem wants us to be able to do things with our money. So we daven for it because we, you know, it's really say, if I didn't get there, it's because I'm not deserving of it, and part of the system of life is that we daven for it. So when would you apply to Chavis Haldolos' words that we just accept what Hashem says, v'nimsar l'din habore v'rotza b'gzeiroso, and I say, I'm poor, that's all, that's the way it is. I don't know if there's an answer. The answer is, if it's really maybe only a question to us, to me, but if you're there, right, and you feel like Hashem's your best friend, and then you're close to Him, and you feel Him, and so you'll know. Maybe you'll hear something. Genug shine, stop already. Then you always have to check yourself. Maybe I'm just being lazy. Maybe I don't have the koyach to daven that one more tefillah. The truth is, anybody who's wanted something really, really bad in their lives, whether it's a job, or a boy, or a girl, I'm not talking about a child now. And like you really want it and you know it'll be good, even in Ruchnius, you know it'll be good in your life, or you try out for a job, and then you daven and you really want it and you don't get tired, right? You look forward to the next davening, you look forward, the truth is we should daven the whole day, it's hard. I look forward to my next Shemona Esrei. The person has a sick child, right? And they just can't go through the whole day davening. You can't live like that. They have to earn a parnasa. They have other children to take care of. Right? So they look forward to the refuge of Shemona Esrei, where they can talk to Hashem. They don't get tired. Maybe the Chavis, I don't know. Either your neshama speaks to you, or you can only say that after it's done already, after it happened, after Chas v'Shalom, if a tragedy happened. So then, because that's a different phrase where he says, I accept what Hashem did. Here he's talking about, I want what Hashem has in store for me. Okay, sometimes I tell you, the neshama speaks to you, it's just not happening. Look, maybe my mishalom are bad. You should never feel that way. Let's say a woman doesn't have children. She'll say she never feel that way. Right? Till it's physically impossible for her to have children anymore. Then she's in acceptance mode. But to say this is my life and this is what Hashem wants for me, it's odd. You don't find in the sources in Tanakh that people acted that way. Only lacher meisa, tziduk adin, himatzlik es adin. But you don't find anywhere that someone says, okay, we should stop davening now because it's, look, we davened enough. That's what you learn out, really, I guess, from Moshe Rabbeinu and from Rochel and from Chana. There's no such thing as enough. Okay, but so what? The point here really was, again, just to wrap it up. The point is to rely on Hashem that He will create for you that enclave, that connection that exists. That's number seven. It exists, and it's beyond the schar of a mitzvah. Schar of a mitzvah was number six on the list of seven things to apply bitachon to, and this is item number seven on the list. This is beyond the schar of a mitzvah. I tried to explain it to the best of my ability. This is beyond that. Who gets it? People who deserve it because of what they did in their lives. Even though this is beyond schar, but you only get this if you lived a certain way. And again, you're enveloped with Hashem. You think of Hashem. You're into Hashem. Okay, but we rely on Hashem that it exists, and that reward will be there. Right, we have that to look forward to if we live this way. It's almost a conundrum because someone on this madrega is not thinking of his char. Royu lechesed abor yelo benoam olam haba sherem olam hakozav lahanchel oav ayesh velsoseha mamalei. This is what 310 worlds of pleasure. Bomar ayin leros alakim zulosecha yasel abachakaloi loyma marav tufcha shetzafanta libeyecha. I guess he sees in these psukim schar b'li hagbala, and I guess he's bothered by that if we do mitzvahs that the schar is im hagbala. You know, there's a schar for every mitzvah. So why are these psukim describing something like limitless? And they're talking about this madrega. And maybe it's not a bad marshal, but you move from beyond the children and a father to a man and wife relationship. And they're like, you're married to Hashem. And that envelops your whole life. That's who you are. That becomes your persona. Hopefully. Okay, we'll start Perakei very briefly. So Perak Aleph was the definition of Bitachon. Perak Beis was the seven qualities you need to have Bitachon in someone. Perak Gimel was the prerequisites to develop full Bitachon in Hashem. And Perak 4 was the seven areas to apply Bitachon to and how to apply it. Perak Hay is an interesting Perak. Avala Hefresh, Chavilovis wants to explain the difference between the boteach and the not boteach. Meaning, we'll get to why he feels it's so important to do. He says, you know, you're living regular lives. I'm not talking about tzaddikim in the sense of, again, you know, going to the mountaintop and having his bodhidus. I'm talking about normal people. Nothing I've described. We're getting back to our general bitachon, going through life having bitachon in Hashem. So I've described the regular person. So the two people are getting up in the morning and they're going to work, working 8-hour shifts, 9-hour shifts, 10-hour shifts. They go, they make deposits in bank, they dress warmly in cold weather. So where do you see the difference? And he, Chavis Avavis loves lists, right? Our alternate name for Chavis Avavis is the Book of Lists. So he says there are seven differences that you'll say, oh, that person has bitachon. Oh, that person doesn't have bitachon. There are seven differences. But they're leading the same lives. That's where he's coming from. They're not radically different. For example, one's going to be one person's optimistic and one person is a sourpuss. They're leading the same lives. Now, why is it important? Why did he write this parak for what purpose? So I think the answer is either who you should be friends with. If you see someone like that, latch on to them. It means they have something and you want to learn from them. That's what I used to say. But then I realized there's a much simpler answer. It's a test. It's a test. You look in the mirror. You know, people say, you know, they kind of, you know, do I have bitachon? You know, so my answer is, are you nervous about this and this? Yeah, of course I'm nervous. Well, then you don't. But how can you test yourself? See, I think I have bitachon. Where we learned in the third parak, that bitachon is something that's very easy to pay lip service to. It slides off the tongue when push comes to shove. How many people exhibit it and live it? So I think this parak is like a test. Because if you look in the mirror and you see a sour puss face staring back at you, if you're nervous about life, someone asked me the last time we learned this, I'm nervous when my kids don't come home from school right away. They're like a little late. I get nervous. Which I, certainly you shouldn't be nervous. Okay, and at some point, you get nervous, right? But this person was describing it, he got nervous 2 minutes over the time. So Abel Hefresh, but it's so funny, like the first sentence is a funny sentence. The answer is Chavis HaGadol has people leading normal lives. Even the Parush, when he talks about the Parush or the Oev Hashem, he talks about what's the difference between someone who's a Parush and not a Parush. Because the Parush is also eating food, you know, and I don't know, maybe putting ketchup on? I don't know, maybe not. Maybe not. But Avala Hefresh Yemein Abotech Al HaElokim V'Zuloso B'Inyan Hisaskuso B'Sibo Saterev. This is the Chavis HaLovah's famous most favorite. His favorite focus when he talks about living in Olam Hazeh and involvement in Olam Hazeh, his favorite focus is Parnassa. The search for money, because that's what takes up most of our lives, and that's our involvement in Olam Hazeh, and that's where we have to go out, and we can't be involved in mitzvahs, or whatever, when we're earning money. Most of us, sometimes people are lucky, and they earn Parnassa from being involved in Torah and mitzvahs, but most people are not like that. So what's the difference? So they're both there. So here also, what's the difference? When he goes earns a living, Omar, I will say, ki abotech belkim mi bodel mizulas habotech olav, from someone who's not botech, b'shivin yonim, 7 ways, like Wonder Bread. Okay, we'll stop.